Hey guys, it's Monday night, and my name is Winfrey, and you're joining us for our Monday night simulcast conference call on the telephone line and on BBS radio. And we have a number of people on the line right now, or a few anyway, and welcome to everyone that's listening on the internet. And every time you hear a little beep, somebody's coming in. So let's check people in who are on the line. And we have, I think, about eight people. Anybody on the East Coast?
Yes, I'm Donna in North Carolina.
Oh, hi, Donna.
Hello, Wynn.
I just sent you an email today, right?
Oh, I didn't get it.
Yeah. You're the Donna that asked about how come what she wanted isn't what she got.
Oh,
correct?
Yeah, online. Yes. But I didn't get an email answer yet.
Okay.
But I'll wait. I'm okay.
Well, I sent it to you. I think I sent it to you just a few minutes ago. So, okay.
Ah, okay.
Nice to have you. And who else is on the line?
Sharon from West Virginia.
Let's see. I heard Eric, but I don't think that's the right voice for an Eric.
Sharon. Yes.
Sharon.
From West Virginia.
Sharon, do they have accents in West Virginia?
Yes, they do.
They do?
And I've been told I've picked it up.
Okay.
I'm from Pennsylvania.
Oh, you're from Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
I think we talked about. Didn't we talk about that one night?
I don't know.
I'm from Pennsylvania.
Are you? What from what area?
I was born in Philadelphia.
Oh, okay. I went to school with people from Philadelphia.
Uh-huh.
Penn State. I went to Penn State a couple years
Okay.
ago.
Super. Well, it's nice to have you again. And let me see who else is checking in. This is Winfrey. Would you like to say your name and your city?
Hi, this is Alan.
Hello, Alan.
How's it going?
Nice to hear from you again. Let's see who else is on the line. This is Winfrey. Anyone who wants to say their name in the city?
This is Kathy Sacramento.
Kathy, oh, it's nice to have you. What a special.
Yes.
What
Hi.
A, how special.
Thank you.
Let's see who else. This is Wynn. Would you like to say your name and your city?
This is Glenda. Mark in Des Moines.
Let's see, we have Glenda in Mesa.
And Mark in Des Moines.
And Mark in Des Moines.
Sandy and Cottonwood.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, one. Who else is there?
Francis in Concord, California.
Francis in Concord. And who else?
Julian Federal Way, Washington.
Julian Federal Way. And who else? Going once.
Kathy in Tennessee.
Kathy, were you being shy?
No, just slow.
Mm-hmm. All right. This is Wynn. Would you like to say your... Now, everyone that's on BBS Radio that's listening, if you're bored while I'm talking to people, it's because you're not tuning in to the people. Okay? Just listen in, and one day you'll be on the line and be saying your name, maybe. Okay. This is Wynn. Would you like to say your name and your city?
This is Emmy Tucson.
Emmy in Tucson.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And who else is on the line?
This is Susan in the mountains west of Portland, Oregon.
Hi, Susan.
Hi, Wynn.
Nice to have you. And who else is on the line?
Hey, Wynn. This is Vilma.
Hi, Vilma.
I'm in Georgia.
And who else is on the line? Is Terry there?
Mm-hmm.
Terry's abandoning me tonight.
Yeah.
Oh. Who is that?
Marianne in Chula Vista.
Hi, Marianne.
Hello.
Hi, Marianne.
Who is that?
That's my daughter.
Okay. Oh, right. Emmy in Tucson and her daughter Marianne in Chula Vista.
Right.
And who else? That's it, huh? How many of you saw the Titanic?
Me.
Me.
I did.
Yep, I have.
Yeah, I did.
Now, how many of you didn't see the Titanic?
Pardon?
How many of you didn't see the Titanic?
I did not.
Oh, there's one. Okay. Sometimes I think that the Titanic represents the sinking of 3D. And that the guys that were playing music were like bringing in 4D. I guess that's a little sad, though, isn't it? It's a little sad to see something, something which is, we've gotten so used to being, and it's part of our just thinking patterns, and now somebody's telling us going through the transition. And it doesn't mean we're all going to die, but it means that it seems like our job is to keep our spirits up and stay out of fear while we watch a paradigm shift and change. No matter what, we have to be up. And hopefully some of the stuff that I've been learning and you're learning from this material to stay above the madding crowd. Did someone else just check in? No. Okay.
All callers are muted.
So, if we're talking about this kind of thing, and if we're talking about a paradigm shift, how do we know it's real? I tell people not to believe me. In fact, I usually tell people, don't even believe that I'm talking to the Elohim. It's not something, if you believe it, and you haven't validated it for yourself in your own way, in your own intuitions, then it's kind of like you may as well start a religion. You believe something, even if it's true, even if you're believing the right thing, it doesn't change anything. It's just another thing that goes in your mind, and one thing leaves and another thing comes. And the real challenge, or the real accomplishment, as I see it, as I have learned it after all of my conversations and all my personal experiences, the real challenge is not about believing something. It's about expanding. It's about expanding into a bigger space. And I always talk about how we, most humans, are not in, you know, expanded spaces. They're in contracted spaces. And we're talking about now, not for physically, we're talking about a, what is the right word, psychic paradigm, a hologram, talking about your spirit. Your spirit, at least the way I see it, is always changing. And how do you hold an expanded space? How do you do that? Well, one of the things is, let's just assume that I'm right in the way that I put things together, and that we all have a space that's contracting or expanding and changing all the time. And then suddenly, I'm having communication. Well, first I'm writing my book, and I'm cross-referencing it. And quite frankly, I had never trusted channeling, and I never studied channeling, because I said, how do I know I can trust that? How do I know I'm going to get the right information? How do I know I'm not going to give up my power? So I became open to the possibility as I was writing the book. And And in reading the Wilcock raw channelings, in reading them, I said, there's no way Wilcock could make this up. It's just too wise. And I had spent a long time talking to him, and I knew him well enough to know that there was wisdom in there that could not come from his conscious mind. So then, where is it coming from? Well, maybe it's coming from somewhere in his unconscious mind. So consider that possibility. Of course, now you have this voice that's coming through him that's not only giving wisdom, but they're sometimes predicting the future. And the same voice is the voice that seemed to be speaking through Carla Rucker. And if you read the book, there's correlations tying Wilcock and Rucker. And so if you do the research, and I hope everyone does, reading this material creates a logical case, or within the degree of probability, that this is real, that there are energies that can communicate through people, and they have been talking to us, and they've been talking not only to us, to this group, to you and me, they were talking to the prophets of the Old Testament, they were talking to the saints of the New Testament, and why are they talking? Because they want people to start a religion? No, that's not why. Religion is not the end result. The end result is expanding your hologram into a greater experience of oneness. The way Ra puts it, seeing everything as part of the same thing, the law of one. And here we are in a world that's got a billion different people, more than a billion, of course, you know, a billion different places to go, and a myriad of possibilities, libraries filled with billions of books, and yet it's all part of the same thing. Can you experience that? How do you go from a world of so much differentiation to a world where you see everything as an extension of one thing? You know, I oftentimes have used this analogy, and there's a lot of new people, so they probably haven't heard me use it. That is, when you try to imagine this, you can think of your body, because your body is a good model for the universe. And you can think of your body having billions of cells, which you are not even aware of. You never talk to your cells directly, and you don't even have a direct, except that you've read about the fact that there's cells, you wouldn't even know that there's cells, except that you've read about it. Well, within your body, everything is made up of cells, and there are groups of cells that communicate to other cells. So one of those groups is called the brain. Another grouping is called the heart. And another grouping is called the blood supply in the circulatory system. And another grouping could be called the nervous system. So there's all this communication going on with inside of you, and you don't even know you have a heart until you watch some TV show where they do it, and maybe they show a heart or an x-ray of a heart. Otherwise, all you are is an intention that is able to direct the body. It can move around and do things. And so I've learned things and put things into the brain, and the brain controls everything. Well, look at the universe in exactly the same way. Think of the entire universe as one being, the one infinite creator, God, one energy that has subdivided. Not, you can't even use billions. There's not a numerical term big enough to describe it. But one energy that is subdivided that many times, and we are a cell or a soul in the universe. We are part of all that is, and that God is all that is. And each of us has a tiny bit of energy, which, when it's all added together, becomes God. And that within the universe, there are groupings of energies that relate and communicate to us far more directly than what we could say all that is. Because all that is just being all that is, just like you're busy being your body. And even though you know that your body's made of billions of cells, you don't communicate with them. And I think the one difference in that analogy, I think that analogy is a way to visualize it, but the one difference is that unlike the cells in your body, which I don't believe have a lot of self-volition, they're there and they do their job, but they're not saying, I want to go on a vacation, or let me talk to Mary, who's I'm the cell in the big toe, and I miss Mary, who's the little finger, so let's communicate, we'll take a train. Cells don't do that. They just say where they are and do their cell job. Humans have volition and consciousness, and humans have a double life. They have their life as a human, and they have their physical bodies and their thinking and all the experience of being a human. Then they have a life in their energy form, which is, we can't see. And so now we have to take the leap of faith to say, yes, we exist as more than a body. Yes, we exist in a place that's invisible, that we can't see. How do we know that's true? You don't. This is like you have to start looking for it. You have to look for the evidence of it. For example, many people have had little psychic phenomena where they're thinking of somebody and suddenly the person calls. Where were you when you got that information? When that other person's name popped into your mind, how did that information travel from that person to you? Well, we could just dismiss it and say, well, I was psychic. But then you have to say, well, what does it mean to be psychic? What does it mean? Well, perhaps the way that it works is the part of you that lives in energy was sensitive to the part of them that lives in energy, and they were about to call you, and suddenly their name popped into your mind because there was a download of information from these other realms. So I believe people are doing that all the time. They're always, you know, the part of them is in other realms is busy creating, it's busy causing synchronicities, causing random occurrence, causing intuitive flashes, giving dreams, and it may be busy talking with other beings in other realms or connecting with other beings. Now, I'm not a channel officially, and I'm speculating here because I'm talking about things that we can't see directly. Yet there's something going on. It's obvious that there's something going on. And if those of us who are on this line are looking to expand our hologram, expand our consciousness, expand our awareness, expand our functioning, then we have to be able to look for things that we can't see, to be open to finding experiences of things that are not visible to a physical, in a physical way. And so I'm attempting to paint some pictures of things to look for. Now, you know, I've been getting emails from people, some of them questions, some of them comments, and I would say if you're one of those people who is seriously thinking that maybe I'm onto something, and you don't read my books and my material, then you're cutting yourself short, because if you're going to look for something that's invisible to a human in the physical realm, if you're going to look for that, then if there's material that points you towards it, that describes it, that introduces you to those sources of energies that are in those invisible realms, then by reading that material, it opens the door for you to make connection. And once you make connection, once you make that kind of connection, you start to realize that you really do have a dual existence. There's part of you that's in this realm and doing all your human things, and there's part of you that is in the other realm, and you start to become sensitive to it. You start to become more sensitive to energies of other people. And to use the word, your consciousness is expanding. You're having multidimensional awareness. And you become friends with these sources that we're talking about all the time, the Elohim group and the Ra group, who indicate that they're available to be your friends, and you just have to energetically connect with them. And to energetically connect, it involves expanding your hologram into their space. Now, in Message a Day, I had sent out a message that says, and this was in 1999, and it was the way Ra was talking to Wilcock. And thus, you are not only documenting your dreams, which is a rather common human endeavor, but also a much more common one as well, namely this trance contact channeling process. So we applaud your efforts and we shake your hand in the higher realms, or that which you would conceive of as a hand, but which is much more likely an energetic progression from an amoeba-like bodily form of energy. But you understand the point. Okay, now you guys hear how they're describing themselves? An amoeba-like bodily form of energy. So we have this big amoeba kind of superimposed on the galaxy that is able to extend its tentacles of energy to you, to me, to everyone on this line, to everyone on this planet, and made up of billions of energies that once had bodies like ours. And that's how they describe themselves. Now, I got a letter from somebody. Oop, this was in response to that particular message. Oop, yep, I consider that kind of unsettling, but I'm open to the possibility. Thanks. I guess I need to go back and reread the book. Well, you know, I would suggest try visualizing that. Think of this amoeba of energy and then say, okay, Ra, I'm not afraid. If you're afraid, they're not going to do anything. But I'm not afraid. An energetic progression to me. I'm open to receiving it. And, you know, on this call, usually somewhere, we do that. We are open to receiving the energy from them. And that is, let's see here. making the connection. And when you make that connection, your hologram is expanded. And when your hologram is expanded, your energy is now existing on both sides of the veil. And you're getting an awareness of it. It's subtle, but it's real. I had another email, and we'll probably ask this on the Matthew call, but I'm pretty sure of the answer myself, and that is, sometimes on this call, people get tired. Even sometimes I do. And they almost fall asleep, or they fall asleep, and they wake up, and they move on. Well, they asked, why does that happen? What I think happens is that you've expanded your matrix onto the other side of the veil. But you still have dross on this side of the veil. What's dross? Dross is some of those areas that we call hang-ups, distortions, traumas, whatever. And by falling asleep, you're opening yourself up to letting them work with you and clearing your dross. That's what I think happens. So we become very aware that we do have beings watching us on this line. And to the best of all my observation, there are very positive beings that have the ability to help us, and that we have to reach back and ask and be open to receive from them. And, is Terry on the line? I'm just curious.
Yes.
Oh, you snuck in, huh?
I'm here.
Okay, just checking. For those that have read Questions and Answers with the Elohim, Terry is the person that channeled most of part two of that. So the key to this is not to believe in the Elohim, not to believe in Ra, but open to the possibility and have faith that might be there, and open to the possibility that you can expand and touch them and they can touch you, and as a two-way interchange. And that after all this time of communicating with them, I will say, they do not take your power. They don't demand you to do things. They do hope that they can make connections with people in this realm who can use the connection to uplift the vibration here and be of service. And as long as you're focused on that, they will continue connecting. But if you lose that focus, then you may find yourself disconnected from them. And this is where you have to have that awareness of the potential for a negative source. You know, I said these are the guys who were probably talking to the people in the Bible and the Old Testament and everything. And I also think that there were many times in the Old Testament in particular, since I'm slightly aware of that, there were many times when the voice that was talking to the prophets or whoever was not these group souls. Because there were certain things exhibited, like fear, like I'm a jealous God, like sacrifice your children, things like that that don't seem like it comes from the Elohim or the Ra group. And in fact, in all the research I've done on this, it's been evident that you must, whenever there's a voice that comes through somebody, you must apply your scrutiny and your discernment to make sure that you have what we could call a positive source. Even when we do channelings on this line, you must constantly consider, is there an agenda of coming through that's coming through here that is trying to control you, that's making you afraid, has the intent of making you afraid, that making you the chosen people, exalting you. All of those things are indications of negative sources or service-to-self sources. And they're not to be judged. We're not going to judge them as bad. And, you know, you can follow them, but you should know what you're following. And basically, a service-to-self source is trying to tap into your energy and keep it contained within its umbrella so that it feels good to them. I don't know if that makes sense. It's kind of just on this level, a service-to-self source will make you feel afraid and like you need it, and if you don't do this, you're going to go to hell or you're going to be on the street or whatever, and keeps your energy under their cap. Keeps your energy under their cap so that you become an effect of their darkness. And I don't know if darkness is not the right word. You know, you're in their orbit. And that's not bad either, because sometimes people need to be in something else's orbit. It's like people are all at different places, so you have to be honest with yourself. There's people that like certain things that you may not like, and they like that, and the universe does not have a judgment on what anyone likes or dislikes or does or doesn't. It doesn't even have a judgment on negative stuff, except eventually the person will have to face that negative, to face the consequences of it karmically. But otherwise, the universe doesn't judge it. And, you know, I'm talking to these guys that are outside of space and time, like the Elohim and Ra, and sensing their perspective, there's unusual shifts that have happened in my perception, because I start to see how they look at things. And from their perspective, it's as if this is one life in thousands of lifetimes. No big deal. I mean, they've watched, they're not in time. Try to imagine this. They're not in time, and they're watching us who are in time, and they've watched us for many, many lifetimes. So in just trying to imagine how we look to them, they're not in time, so they, you know, they see 10 lifetimes go by, and there's no time or no experience of time. So 10 lifetimes go by in a blip. Yet, when you're in those lifetimes, they're slow, and we're here. And then we get attached to the construct of a particular life. We get attached to our Aunt Molly, and we get attached to our children getting their degrees. And there's nothing wrong with this. I am not saying anything wrong. I'm just saying how it looks to them. And to them, well, you know what? All that we do in this life, all that we accomplish is going to be gone. And we're going to leave this realm, and we're going to move into our spirit form, and then we're going to come back again. So all those things that we look at as accomplishments and important, from their point of view, this is just another blip in the radar, and then we come back again, and another blip, and another civilization forms around that new blip, and another one, and another one, and another one. And the way the Elohim have described that is they have watched us go through gross repeating cycles, gross repeating cycles for millions of years. Many of us have lifetimes that go back millions of years, and every time we come back, it's all brand new, so we have no memory of any of those lifetimes. And yet we're carrying the karmic track of all those lifetimes. And so when they're communicating with us, there's the opportunity, and this is an opportunity that is voluntary, of graduating from this realm. Do you want to graduate from this realm? Do you want to come back another 1,000 lifetimes in this realm? Do you want to play the wheel of life and the fortune and have all these lifetimes that some of them are going to be great and some of them are going to be horrible? Because you can't control it. You can't control what happens. And you come back and you make a couple of mistakes, and then you really come back because you've made some mistakes. You've gotten involved with the wrong people, or you hurt somebody. You have to come back and make up that hurt. So it's free will choice, and we are choosing, do we want to come back or do we want to graduate? And if we want to graduate, then perhaps we have to see things from the perspective of how these other guys see things and see ourselves as cosmic flows over many lifetimes rather than a body that has some people that it cares about this lifetime. Now, I'm not suggesting one bit that if you have a family and you care about your family, you keep, the key is you're not supposed to like disconnect from the responsibilities. You're not supposed to not care about those people that you care about. But can you adopt the idea of the transitoriness of it? When you do, and you hold the energetic connection, from what they tell me is there's no way you don't keep meeting those people again, even when you don't remember them. But if you're holding on and you're attached, then the attachment pulls you into the karmic flows. How do we stay out of attachment? How do we stay out of fear? I think many of you, if not most of you, are listening to our Wednesday night Matthew line, and I should tell everyone who's listening on BBS, one of the most powerful things that we present on a weekly basis is the Matthew channeling on Wednesday, because people get a chance to send in questions and we answer them live on the phone line. And if you're interested in asking a question, get your pencils and papers out, because if you've never checked in, I'll give you the information so you can check it out this Wednesday. In fact, you can check it out when we close down tonight, because we have a replay line which you can listen to anytime. And there's an amazing energy on this replay line. I can tell you I have one friend who has checked into our calls many, many times. And she hitchhikes sometimes. And what is the advantage of an expanded matrix? This is one advantage. When she's hitchhiking, and she can't get a ride, she gets her cell phone and calls the Matthew line and listens, and she tells me immediately she gets a ride. So what's happening? Her space is expanding. Her space is expanding so that when people drive by her, they feel that expanded space, and something compels them to offer her a ride. So any of you, suppose you're in a moment of fear. Suppose you're in a moment of compression. Suppose you're in a moment of worried about your family. Suppose you're in a moment about how to make the bills paid, get the bills paid. Or how do you get sick, get better, you're sick. Try listening to the Matthew line. Stop. Every few days, stop everything and listen. Because who said you can't solve the problem in the place that the problem exists? If you translate that idea into the, what I'm saying is that if you can expand your hologram to a larger hologram, and then you go back into your problems, you can deal with your problems in a far more masterful way than out of fear and concern and worry. And listening to the Matthew calls, listening to any of our calls, I think has the impact of helping you to momentarily expand your hologram, expand your space into the spiritual realms. And even if you go to sleep, even if you fall asleep, let the process keep unfolding, because suddenly you're going to say, geez, I'm doing things that I never did before. I'm having a mastery that I never did. I'm not afraid. Everyone around me is afraid, and I'm not afraid. Why am I not afraid? Because you're not in this realm. You're in the area. You are establishing the place inside of yourself that exists beyond this physical life. And as you establish that and live inside of it, you can then move in this realm and things don't impact you. And then you realize that you do have friends and you have these group souls. I mean, I don't know how it works because I can't see it any more than you do. But I'm convinced at this point that these two group souls, the Elohim group and the Ra group, can energetically connect with you, help you hold the space of the expansion, help you overcome the fears that you have. You know, in one of the Matthew calls recently, they were talking about the way you overcome fear is through connection. Through connection. In other words, it's through having connection with people, having family, having, and of course, connecting with these guys in other realms. And connecting with people in other realms. Feeling their presence and, you know, connecting to me, I have to say, to qualify that idea, is when you connect for a really high purpose, it means the energy of the connection is expanded. And when you connect for a mundane purpose, the energy of the connection is far more contracted. So, like, what would be an example of a connection for a high intent? Every Sunday, we do a grid healing, a planetary healing. We do it over the phone. Suppose you invited some people over to your living room to participate in that grid healing. Well, now you're connecting with people at a very high intent. There's a magical energy that comes around that. And then if you have to do something with them, it's at a more mundane level. It's kind of like you've already anchored and established a connection really high, so it's easy to do it at a mundane level. It's like if you establish a high connection with people and the world starts breaking down, you're going to have an immediate support group to help you. And you won't be nearly as afraid as if you're all alone and no one cares. Now, we are establishing those high connections on this line. And, you know, the people who have been working on the line, the people that have been volunteering, have been getting to know each other and supporting each other and creating an example of that actually working. And as I've said many, 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 many times, this is an experiment. I don't quite know how to do this. I can't find the right book that explains it. So I try something, and I always tell people, please don't believe this is going to work. We're doing an experiment. And I watch the results, and then I decide on the basis of the results if it's working or not. Now, I don't know if you guys have read my dream message today in daily insertions on Message a Day, but let's see. Just by talking about us, we come in just by talking about us. Have you ever tried talking about this to people? They probably are going to lock you up, right? You know, in the Matthew call, somebody said, well, how do I do this? How do I, you know, I know this is real. How do I be of service to others? And the answer is really neat. They said, well, get a book that relates to what you're interested in, and put it on your desk at work so somebody asks about it. So the key to doing this and being of service is getting sneaky ways of people to ask you or to reach for you. This is not an unusual tact. I remember Herbalife. What did Herbalife do years ago? How did they become a billion-dollar company? Everyone wore a button that said, we don't have buttons, okay, maybe we'll come up with one, but everyone had a button that said, lose weight now, ask me how. And what did that button do? It made people ask, and when people asked, they got interested in the product. You have no idea how important that little step of getting people to ask is and how it can help you connect with people, okay? And if you think you can bypass reading my books and just listening to me, you can do that, but I'll tell you, in terms of anchoring this into your experience on a gut level, the books are so amazing in doing that. And I went through some emails today, and I was going to read some of the kinds of things people send to me. Let's see here. Just a moment. Well, somebody was reading the book and talked about the stock market falling. This is like anyone who's read. One of the things that the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce does is it's loaded with prophecies that came about, and many of them are coming about right now, even though the book was written in the year 2000. One of the things the book says, and okay, this is something that's not pleasant to think about, but you might as well start thinking about it, and it's probably going to be easier to prepare for it now than wait for it to happen. And they said that the car will be falling apart one wheel at a time, but not so fast that you don't know what's happening. The car is going to lose a front tire, then a rear tire. And then they said the economy is going to come to the place where people have to trade with each other, and that there's no tangible economic backing of money. Now, maybe that won't happen for a while. I hope not. But how long do we have till that happens? 2 years? 3 years? 5 years? Maybe it won't happen. No channeling is locked in stone is having to happen. Except there are many people who are not channeled, that don't believe in metaphysics, that look at our economy and come to the same conclusion. So, on that basis, it feels to me like it's something that's going to happen, that we are headed for a breakdown. And another interesting thing that was said on the Matthew call was somebody asked about storing precious metals and money and food. And the answer was, well, in some ways that looks like a wise thing to do. But on the other hand, if you do that, you're going to create yourself as a target. In other words, if you're in a city and people know you have stuff and they don't have it, you're a target. And they said the far better security is in the relationships you create with the people in your physical environment and your community. And creating relationships will create safety and will create a teamwork in solving the problems. And I thought that was extremely wise. It resonated with me. And this is the time where we can do that. Now, one of the things I'm talking or thinking about doing is going on the road and giving some talks. You know, it worked in Sedona. We had like a bunch of people show up to come see me, and then doing some workshops and creating community amongst people. And if any of you have any ideas or want to give support to that in your own area, please email me. And as we test it, because it has to test and has to, can't lose money, because I can't do anything more that at least doesn't earn an income, which, because I've done a huge amount, it hasn't. But that's an idea that seems like it could work. It'd be fun to get people out to give a public talk somewhere and have the town come out. And, you know, when I did it in Sedona, 125 people showed up. Now, let me see here. I've got another, well, this is like a good commercial for the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. Now, it's interesting. I had someone I was visiting with for the last couple of days was a big fan of David Wilcock, and they thought because they knew David Wilcock, or they had watched his videos, that the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce would just be reiterative of what they've already seen, which it isn't. It's a whole different dimension of David. So here, and it connects David's source with Christianity, with many, many things. So it is a phenomenal book that I am probably going to read over again and use as a reference as well. I have a college degree in theology and biblical studies. However, I could never fit the mold, so to speak. I was one of the students who asked a lot of questions and would never go with the flow. The content of your book brought forth the answer to many questions that I had regarding faith, religion, God, Jesus, prophecy. One of my passions is to show the true God and Jesus to people and how all this works together in a harmonious manner. It is a long story how I got to this point, but your work literally dropped into my lap when I requested solid answers to my questions. I also read Questions and Answers with the Elohim, and I love it as well. What other materials would you recommend for me to read? Well, I'm not going to go into that on the phone. I will say a really, really good book is called Initiation by Elizabeth Hasch, H-A-I-S-C-H, describing, you know, the Egyptian epic in all this thing. Another thing is I have something called the Egyptian Workshop, which is up on messageofday.net, which is a four-hour workshop I did, which is a lot of research. It's just an audio file. It's not in readable form, but maybe that's a good project. And there's a lot of connection between the Egypt and the devil and Christianity, and it's kind of a huge connection. And David Wilcock, who had a lifetime in Egypt, and I had a lifetime in Egypt, and I went through it all in that four-hour workshop. So I didn't put a discount code up yet on it. In fact, I haven't even told people about it, but it's something that I highly recommend. I recommend it to the person who sent me this email, because it'll probably put a lot of puzzle pieces together, continue to do so, if they listen to it. So on that note, here I am talking this whole time, and Terry is patiently listening, sitting in the parking lot. Are you in the parking lot, Terry?
Yes, I am.
And
McDonald's parking lot.
In McDonald's parking lot, as many of you know, oftentimes we do a channeling and have them say hello to everybody. And if you're on DBS, I'm going to close out on DBS. But I'll give you the phone number for the conference line, and we're probably not going to have a big challenge. We're going to bring the energies in. More, you know, more important than the physical words is the energies, the opening, the expansion of the holograms into the higher dimensions, and learning how to feel that expansion, and eventually learning how to hold that expansion for other people. So the phone number is 218-936-1100, and the PIN is 88261. 218 936-1100. Oh, what? God, I'm going to give Matthew's number. Forget the number. 218-936-1100. And the PIN is 37525#. 37525#. If anyone's listening on BBS and wants to continue joining us. 218-936-1100. And the PIN is 37525#. And if you're listening on the archives, sorry, I guess we're saying goodbye for the evening. Thank you for being here. So, we're probably not on anymore. It's 7:53, and he starts his next show in 2 minutes, and I don't even know if anyone's got that out. So, let me see. You know, I'll call in the light, and I didn't record this tonight. Darn. Okay, I'll call in the light, and then we'll have, if Terry has any communications for us, and then we'll have some silence, and then we'll move on. So, Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here. And any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the Hunapku through our bodies into the center of the earth. And right now, we invoke a connection, an opening up to the higher frequencies, a braiding, a blending of our energies,